Okay, Boker Tov, everybody, Erev Tov in Israel. It's a pleasure to welcome you as we begin our five-part series, Libi B'Mizrach, My Heart is in the East, on rabbinic figures from the Islamic world. And it's a pleasure to welcome Rabbanit Shira Mirli Mirvis to present. She has her personal background, I guess, in the Islamic world. That's where her family comes from in Morocco. And please God, you'll get there on a visit one day. And Shira, of course, we had the pleasure of interviewing her a few weeks ago, really a fascinating interview. She was just appointed, as I'm sure many of you know, the Rosh Kila of Shirat HaTamar in Efrat. She just finished the Or Torah program, the Susie Bradfield Woman Institute of Halachic Leadership. It's a five-year program. It's interesting, in YU, the Smicha program is only 4 years. So I don't know, this is a five-year program. She teaches blog and Parshat HaShavua and Talmud and Hadron, and it's really a pleasure to welcome her to the series that will be in English, as I'm sure you realize. The sources, of course, are all in Hebrew, but they'll all be translated to English. Today's talk is being sponsored by Linny and David Mervis of Memphis, Tennessee, in honor of their children. So we thank them. And Vakasha Shira.
Shalom, everyone. I'm very excited to start our series with a very special figure for me. And I got to start hearing about Harav Uziel when I heard an interview with Rav Ovadia Yosef. And Rav Ovadia Yosef, the person who interviewed him in the news, asked him, who is your inspirational figure? Who do you look up to? And Rav Ovadia Yosef said, Harav Meir Uziel. So I got intrigued and I said, okay, if he's the inspiration for Rav Ovadia Yosef, we have to learn something about him. And I started doing my research about Harav Uziel. And I would love to share with you a bit about his background. Where did he come from? What did he do? And to take a closer look into one halachic question that he was asked in the year 1939 and how he answered that halachic question. So I'm going to share screen with your permission. Okay, is that okay? Can everyone see? Beseder. So Harav Ben Zion Meir Chai Uziel. He from the 18, you're going to have to help me with the English and the years, aval you can all read it here, 1880 to 1953. He was the Sephardi chief rabbi, second chief rabbi in Israel, alongside Rav Kook. So Rav Kook is the famous chief rabbi of Israel, and he was alongside him, the Sephardi rabbi. Rav Kook was the Ashkenazi rabbi. He was very active. He wrote a lot of books. Here, I'm going to show you the books that he wrote. A lot of his books were about halakha, and questions and answers in halakha, but he also had books about machshava, Hegione Uziel. He had books about Masechet Avot. He wrote a book about the halachic laws of orphans and widows. He wrote about Shemitah and about judgment and Mishpat. His main book is about the Shas. He wrote a parshanut about the Gemara. And he's shooting Mishpate Uziel. It's one of his main books that I think most of the people who get to read and learn about him, these are the main books, Mishpate Uziel. So I chose to focus on one halachic question that Rav Uziel was asked. And the way that it works, I don't know if you had the opportunity to learn a shoot before. Shoot is She'ela V'tshuva, question and answer. So the way that it goes, that he's writing his answer, is, and within his writing, he's putting in all the mekorot, all the sources. And what I want to try and do today is to understand his answer by going into all of the mekorot that he has brought and try to understand how come he ruled, how come he gave the psak the way that he did. So first of all, let's start from the beginning. And the beginning is the question. We have a goy, we have someone who's not a Jew, and he wants to convert in order to marry an Israeli, someone who's Jewish. They fell in love And I think an important part here is that they have decided that they are getting married. Either he's converting or not, they are getting married, and they agreed to marry when he's a non-Jew. And this is the question. Please don't get scared. I know it's a bit intimidating, but what I did is I tried to paint in blue everything that is a source that we're going to open. And I've tried to underline things that looked to me important. So I'm going to start by reading. We're not going to read the whole thing, just a tiny bit to get a bit of the language. It's a beautiful Hebrew. So just to get a bit of the touch of the Hebrew and the language, and then we're going to go into the Mekot. So Ra'iti, I've seen this question and everything that came to her from my friend who asked me about mi shehitkasher bebrit ahava. They are already connected. They are already in love. Bebat Israel, and she is Jewish, and both of them have agreed to marry one another, even if he is a non-Jew. But he wants to convert because he wants to marry her halachically, by the Jewish law. He wants everything to be proper. And that's why the chatan, the man, is agreeing to convert in order to marry his beloved Jewish girlfriend. And then this rabbi that is writing to Rav Uziel, Rav Oyerbach, he's the one that is writing to Rav Uziel. So Rav Oyerbach gave a psak that he's saying that he can convert. And he is writing to Rav Uziel and he's telling him, please support me. I think that they should be allowed to convert, even though he's converting because he's in love with a Jewish girl. I think they should be allowed, he should be allowed to convert, but please, I need you to support me. So Rav Uziel is writing a few things. First of all, Hadavar Talui Lefi Re'ut Beit Din. These are the words that he's taking from HaBet Yosef. We're going to look into the Beit Yosef in a minute, but meaning, the Beit Din, meaning the Beit Din of each community, has the ability to decide on that. This is not something that it's one ruling for all, but this is something that is up to the specific Beit Din that they are coming to convert. So one Beit Din may decide that it's permitted for them to convert, and another Beit Din in a different country may decide that it's not good for them to convert. So the Beit Yosef is given the Beit Din the authority to decide if they want to convert this non-Jew or not to convert him. So first of all, we're putting the responsibility or the authority on the community Beit Din. So that's one thing. The second thing, im yesh kavana leshum toelet yachad im machshava leshem shamayim, meaning the question that we want to ask ourselves when this non-Jew is coming to convert. So we know that he has an interest, nachon? And the interest is that he's in love with a Jew and he wants to marry her. So for sure we have toelet, nachon? We have a benefit that will come up to him from this conversion. But does he also have machshava l'shem shamayim? In addition to the fact that we know that he wants to convert because he's in love with that girl, does he also have machshava l'shem shamayim? Does he also thinking to himself, okay, that could be interesting. Maybe Judaism is for me. Maybe I can believe in one God. Maybe I can accept Torah on myself. Meaning what they're saying here is sometimes it's complicated. It's not, the situation is not black and white. Sometimes we can have a non-Jew that he's being honest and he is saying, yes, I want to convert just because I'm in love with someone. But together with that, it's complicated. And I'm also converting because I think that maybe something good will come out of it. Maybe I'll get to know Am Yisrael. Maybe I'll get to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And maybe I'll be able to relate to it. And therefore, it's a few things together. We have both a benefit and machshava l'shem shamayim. So that's the second point that I want to refer to. And the third point that he's saying is, midihu te'ama ele leshulchan melachim halot zricha lei, which is from the Gemara in Yevamot, and they are talking about Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech, every time that we're talking about conversion out of love, so the Gemara will bring the example of Shlomo HaMelech. And the Gemara will say, but we know that Shlomo HaMelech, he converted women, different women, because he wanted to marry them, and he married, or either he married them when they were non-Jews, or that he converted them, one of the two, because he wanted to marry them. So therefore, maybe it's allowed. So the Gemara in Yevamot will say, sometimes people want to marry because they want Shulchan Melachim. That's the halachic phrase. For example, if you think of Kate Middleton, like someone who's a completely regular person, and he wants to marry royalty because it's a lot of money, because it's a lot of respect, because he's going to be famous because of it. A lot of other consideration that will come into the table. So this is what the halakha will consider as Shulchan Melachim. They want to be part of the table together with the kings and the queens because it's a lot of respect. So they would say, maybe, we'll look at it into the Gemara, but I wanted to give you that phrase. We have to think of what are the reasoning that they are converting, if they have reasoning of money, of respect, and then maybe it's not a good reason enough to convert. Again, this is Rav Uziel talking. I want to get back to it at the end. I just want to show you that Rav Uziel is bringing the Tosfot, and he's bringing another sugiya from Masechet Shabbat about Hillel HaZaken. Let's look inside. This is still Rav Uziel, and this is his ruling at the end. Mikol ha'teamim ha'ele, because of all of those reasons, that we're going to look into them right now. Hineni mitztaref, I'm joining in to Rav Oerbach, who asked me the questions. Lahatir kabalat gerze, to accept and to convert this non-Jew. Achre hodaat kol divrei gerut, ha-mevoarim b'shulchan aruch, but it needs to be proper. Just like the Shulchan Aruch, and we're going to look into the Shulchan Aruch to say, what is the proper way? What do you need to say to a non-Jew when he wants to become Jewish? Ve'achre mila, o hatafat dambrit, and after doing the brit mila, vet vila bifnei din, and going to the mikveh, leval idach mimeno nidach, vehu rachum yichaper, ve'anir'a le'aniyut da'ati katavti, and I wrote whatever I think is right. So that's the end of his answer. And now what I want to try and do is I want to look into the gemarot that Rav Uziel is bringing in order to support his ruling. So the first Gemara, and the most important ones, because everyone will bring that Gemara, would be the Gemara from Menachot, Daf Mem Daled. So you have it here, and I'm going to tell it to you. It's a great story. So it's a story about a person that we don't know his name. The Gemara doesn't give us his name. And the Gemara is telling us that he had one mitzvah that he emphasized on, which was mitzvah tzitzit. And Parshanim about this Gemara will say he had one mitzvah that he liked and that he did, because all the other mitzvot, he didn't really do them. He wasn't really concerned about halakha. He wasn't really concerned about the Jewish law, but he really cared about mitzvah tzitzit. And that was the only thing that he has done. So, and he heard about this woman, this prostitute that was very famous and very rich. And it had to be a lot of money in order to visit her. And he saved, and he went and took the journey, the travel, in order to go and meet with that woman. And when he got to her, there was a very fancy room with a lot of gold and a lot of silver. And the Gemara is describing how fancy everything was. And they lost their clothes, both the man and the woman. And when he lost his clothes and he stayed naked, the only thing that was left on him was the tzitzit that he was makpid to wear. And the tzitzit slapped him in the face. And that woke him, that made him thinking. And he left the woman without doing anything. And he said to her, I'm sorry, I can't do that. It's not you, it's me. And he left. And this woman, this very very well-known prostitute, told him, what did you find wrong in me? What do you see? Have you seen me and you think that I'm not okay, that I'm not good enough for you? Why do you not want to be with me? That have never happened to me before. And he said to her, no, it's not you. It's about me. There's one mitzvah that I'm doing, and this mitzvah of tzitzit, this undergarment that I'm wearing, it reminded me of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It reminded me of who I am, and I can't do it right now. And this woman asked the guy to write her his name and where is he from and what Beit Midrash he's from. And they separated. He went back home and she stayed at her house. And then she has decided that she wants to go and find him. So she's giving up all of her money. She was very wealthy. She gave one third as tax, one third to the poor, and one third of her money she took with herself. And she went on a journey to look for that student, for that man that was not willing to be with her. She came to the Beit Midrash and she came to Rabbi Chiya. And she's telling Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Chiya, please convert me. And these are the lines that are bold in here. Amra lo Rabbi, tzave alai ve'yasuni giyoret. Please tell your students, I want to become a convert. I want to become Jewish. Amar la biti, shema enech natat be'echad min atalmidim. So Rav Chiya, who sees that woman, he understands and he's telling her, why do you want to convert? Because you've met one of my students, because you want to marry them. And she says, hotziya ktav miyadav v'natna lo, meaning she immediately took the name of the student and the name of the Beit Midrash that he gave her, she showed it to Rabbi Chiya. So Rabbi Chiya omer, lechi tzchi b'mikchech, meaning the Gemara is ending that sugiya by saying Rabbi Chiya is allowing her to convert, and he's telling her, go, you can go and win back the student, you go and win him, and you can get married with him. So according to the Gemara, we don't know how it actually ended, but according to the Gemara here, Rabbi Chiya gave her the option to convert and to marry his student. Why is this Gemara in Menachot is so basic in the question of conversion? Because from this Gemara, it is shown that Rav Chiya is allowing to convert someone out of love. Meaning you don't have to, in order to be a convert and in order to join the Jewish nation, you don't have to come and say, I believe in God, I want to keep the Torah, I love the Jewish law. No, you can also say, I'm in love with a Jewish person, and that's enough for Rav Chiya to convert her. The Bet Yosef that Rav Uziel is bringing. So Habet Yosef is talking about this. And it's a very long Bet Yosef. It's all in here if you want to read it, and then you also have it in your source sheets. But I want to show you a few things in here, and we're not going to read the whole thing. So first of all, he starts with Echad ger shenitgayer l'shem isha. The first case that we have is a convert that he's converting because he wants to marry a woman. And it doesn't matter if it's a man for a woman or isha for a man or a woman for a man. Kulam gerim, meaning their conversion is good. And why is that? Because we're learning it from Hagmara beYevamot. We're going to look at that Gemara in a second. And then the Beit Yosef is bringing the Rambam. Rambam is talking about Hilchot Yisurei Bi'ah, meaning how is it allowed or not allowed, when is it allowed or not allowed to have a relationship with a woman. And this is what the Rambam is saying. Hamitzvah hanechona, the right way, is when a convert comes to convert, botkim acharav, you need to check, you need to ask him, shema biglal mamon sheitol, or bishvil srara, does he want to convert because of money? Does he want to convert because he wants to get a job? He wants to be a minister? He wants to rule, to be part of the Jewish nation? Shiskela, o mipnei apachad balikenes ladad, or because he's afraid of something? Ve'im ish bodkim acharav sheva natan enav b'isha yehudit, ve'im isha bodkim shema natna enea bebachurei Israel. If he's a man, so we're checking to see, does he want to convert just because he fell in love with a woman? If that's a woman that wants to convert, we're checking, did she fell in love with a man and that's why she wants to convert? Ve'im lo nimtzet lahem ila, modi'im lahem kovet ola Torah. And if we can't find a reason why they want to convert, meaning they don't have any other reason, not because of money, not because of respect, not because of a job, not because of love, then you can tell them how hard it is to keep the Torah and how much of a work it is. And if they still want to, אם קיבלו ולא פירשו וראו אותם שחזרו מאהבה, מקבלים אותם. And then you can accept them. Meaning, according to the Rambam, it is very obvious that he requires that there will be no other reasoning to want to become part of the Jewish nation. The only reasoning that you would want is because you believe in Hashem, because you want to do the Torah, because you accept the Torah on yourselves, even though you know it's a lot of hard work and it's a lot of hardship, and you still want to do it. But if you have one of the other reason, which is money or a job or love, then it's problematic according to the Rambam. And then the Bet Yosef explaining that, and the Bet Yosef is saying, what does it mean out of fear? Because we know that in the days of David and Shlomo, they wanted, a lot of people wanted to convert in the days of David because of they feared because of the wars. David was occupied with a lot of wars and conquering a lot of other nations. And when he conquered them, the people there were scared and they wanted to convert and be part of the Jewish nation. And in the days of Shlomo, because of all the wealth, Shlomo was very rich, the Jewish nation had a very good time, and people wanted to convert in order to be part of this amazing nation that is wealthy. And then there's a kol ha'chozer min ha'goyim bishvil davar mehevle ha'olam eno migere tzedek. And then the Bet Yosef is saying, whoever is coming from the non-Jewish people and he wants to join in the Jewish people because one of those reasoning, because of one of this hevle olam, meaning money, wealth, security, whatever that is, then you can't be a convert. And still we know that there were a lot of people that did convert, even though that we know halachically it's a problem. So how could it be? How could David and Shlomo converted so many people if we know that you're not allowed to, if you don't have the right reasoning? So they're saying, so they actually did convert them and they didn't tell anyone not to be converted. And after they were converted, it was fine. Zeger. So hare zeger. If you did the whole thing, you went to Beit Din and you did Brit Milah and you went to the mikveh and you're tovel, אפילו נודע שבשביל דבר הוא מתגייר, even if you know after that he converted, you know that he converted because of one of these reasoning, הועיל ומל וטבל יצא מכלל הגויים. He's already considered Jewish. Meaning, I think it's a situation of לכתחילה ובדיעבד. To begin with, this is not ideal. We don't want people who are coming to convert because they are looking for the respect or the money or the wealth or whatever that is. But if they went through the whole thing and they did everything and they converted, then they're Jewish and we accept them, even if they had not the right reasoning to convert. So the Bet Yosef is giving here something that is complicated. That is, on one hand, we don't want that. On the other hand, we understand that it actually happened throughout the times and there was such a situation in the past that it happened. And then the Bet Yosef is also bringing the Gemara that we read from Menachot, וכן ההיא דאתחלת, meaning his tzitzit, דאדה לקמי דרבי ואמרה גאירני, this woman who told רבחיה to convert me, and he converted her. So from this Gemara, we can see that you can convert because of love. But the Bet Yosef is also bringing the Mordechi. And the Mordechi is saying, very strictly, very, very on the table, נראה לי דמי שבא להתגייר, if you're coming to convert, וידוע לנו שבשביל תועלת דבר, meaning we know that they want to convert because they have some sort of a benefit, הם עושים, they're doing it because they're going to have some sort of a benefit from their conversion, אין לקבלם, meaning these are not convert that we want, and even if they converted, אין לקבלם, we do not accept their conversion. So the Bet Yosef is bringing all the scale of rulings. On the one hand, the Mordechi, which is the most extreme to the part that he's saying, even if they converted, but they converted from the wrong reasons, we're not going to convert them. All the way to the Gemara from Menachot, that even if we know for sure that she converted for love, Rav Chiya still converted her. The Gemara in Yevamot is also referring to Shlomo HaMelech. Rav Yosef is questioning about how could you say that you can't convert out of fear, because we know that Shlomo converted the daughter of Paro, Melech Mitzrayim, meaning Shlomo married someone who's not Jewish. And then the Gemara is saying, no, he converted her. And then the Gemara would ask, how could he convert her? We don't convert someone just because she wants to be a royal, just because she wants the money and the respect and whatever comes with marrying the king. And they're saying, no, this is the daughter of Paro, and she doesn't need the money. She doesn't need the respect. She's already royal. It's not like a woman from the countryside who has no idea who she's marrying and she wants to take part in the royal family. This is someone who comes from a royal family, and that's why the Gemara is saying, that's why en lefakpek begiura, meaning we accept her conversion because she converted in order to be part of Shlomo HaMelech, to be Shlomo HaMelech's wife, and she didn't have the reason of Shulchan HaMelechim. The Gemara in Yevamot is giving us the machloket, the argument, the halachic argument that we have seen here. Meaning, so there's the first opinion, אחד איש שנתגייר לשום אישה, ואחד אישה שנתגיירה לשום איש, וכן מי שנתגייר לשום שולחן מלכים. So if you are converting because you want to marry someone, or if you're converting because you want to be part of the royal family, לשום עבדי שלמה אינם גרים. This is the opinion of Rabbi Nechemiah. You cannot accept their conversion. Meaning, even if they think that they've converted, they are not converts. On the other hand, we have halacha kedivrei haomer, kulam gerim hem. On the other side, if they have converted, even if we know that they have other reasoning, we're saying they are all converts. This is the Gemara here that is bringing from Yevamot, that is bringing the argument. So what have happened in the times of Shlomo and the time of David? And we're also see it in all of the years, all of the history of the Jewish history. And I think the best example that I can think of is the example of Megillat Esther, the story of the Megillah. In the story of the Megillah is actually ending with the story that a lot of people have converted. And why have they converted? Because they were scared. Nachon veharbe me'amei ha'aretz mityahadim. Because they were scared of everything that have happened with Mordechai and Esther, that they were allowed to protect themselves. So this is a different halachic category that we called gerim mipachad, or the halachic term would be gere arayot. Gere arayot is arayot from the words lion, because there were the stories in the Nevi'im that there were lions that coming and scaring the people who didn't want to convert, and they had to be part of the Jewish nation. So gerei arayot, or all kinds of converts that are converting because of fear, do we accept them or do we not accept them? And I think overall there are coming to be another category in this types of conversion that we are not sure how to deal with them. So we have converts out of fear, converts out of money or respect, shulchan melachim, and we have converts out of love. Ish veisha. So all of these converts, we have two situations. One situation would be beforehand, meaning before we're converting them, do we let them be converted? Do we let them go through the whole process of the Beit Din and becoming part of the Jewish nation? That's one part. And the other part is what are we doing if they already went through the whole process? They went to Beit Din, they found a Beit Din that will convert them, and then they did Brit Milah, or if they're men, and they did the mikveh and they went to Tovel, and they're saying on themselves, I'm a convert, and I converted because I'm in love with someone and I want to get married. And then halakha lemaaseh, do we accept their conversion? Are they considered to be Jewish, or are we saying to them, you're not Jewish, even though you went through the whole process? So this is explaining us about the gerim out of fear, gere pachad. And this is the story from Masechet Shabbat. It's from Masechet Shabbat about this goy, this non-Jew, that was walking around the Beit Midrash, and he heard a conversation. He heard someone talking within the Beit Midrash, inside the Beit Midrash. And he is saying, these are the clothing, asher yasu choshen ve'efod, like very fancy clothing that we're going to saw, especially for the Kohen Gadol. So he went and he asked, wow, amazing, who are you doing this clothing for? And they answered him, le Kohen Gadol. This non-Jew is saying, elech ve'etgayer, bishvil shiyasimuni Kohen Gadol. So he thought to himself, okay, so I'm going to go, I'm going to convert, and then I'm going to become the Kohen Gadol. Why? Because it's a lot of respect, because it's nice clothing, because it's like a leader of the Jewish nation. It's amazing. He liked the idea. He went to Bet Shammai, he went to Shammai, and he said to Shammai, please convert me because I want to be Kohen Gadol. And as we expect out of Bet Shammai, he pushed him down the stairs and he rolled him out of the Beit Midrash and he said, mamash, not an option. And then this non-Jew goes to Hillel and Hillel converts him. אמר לו, כלום מעמידים מלך, אלא מי שיודע תכסיסי מלכות, לך למד תכסיסי מלכות. So Hillel is telling this non-Jew who wants to be Kohen, you want to be Kohen? You have to start learning. You have to start learning everything. So go and start learning everything that there is to learn. And then he went and read, and he get to the pasuk, והזר הקרב יומת. Meaning, if you're an outsider coming into the Jewish nation, you can't be Kohen Gadol. So he's asking, who's this pasuk talking about? And Hillel tells him, afilu al David melech Israel. Nasa oto ger kal vachomer beatzmo. Ma Israel shenikreu banim lamakom. Mitoch ahava sheahavam kara lahem bni bechori Israel. Ktiv alehem vehazar akarev yumat. Meaning, no one can go into the Kodesh Kodashim. Even David HaMelech can't go in into Beit HaMikdash, into the Kodesh Kodashim. So this convert understood on himself that he can't go into Kodesh Kodashim, that he can't be Kohen Gadol. Ger hakal sheba bemaklo vebetarmilo al achat kama vechama. Ba lifne Bet Shammai, amar lo klum ra'ui ani liyot Kohen Gadol. So he went to the Shammai, who didn't want to convert him, and he tells him, is there any option for me to be a Kohen? And then he went to Hillel, and he told him, an vetan Hillel, yanuach lecha brachot al roshcha, שהקרבתני תחת כנפי השכינה. And he thanks Hillel for bringing him closer to Hashem. And he tells him, Shammai wanted to take me out of the world. And because of Hillel, because of his traits, I became closer to Hashem and I became תחת כנפי השכינה. So why is this Gemara so important and so beautiful in my eyes? First of all, because it shows us the differences in approaches. How do we approach? I think Hillel is correct. Shammai, when someone is coming to him, Shammai is saying, he can't be a Kohen and I can't convert him because he wants to convert for the wrong reasons. And that's why I can't convert him. On the other hand, Hillel doesn't look at the whatever he says, doesn't listen only to what he says, but Hillel is looking at him and saying, okay, he wants to convert. He thinks that he wants to convert because he wants to be Kohen. I know that he's not going to be a Kohen. Doesn't matter. He has something that he wants to be part of Am Yisrael. So I'm going to let him. I'm going to let him be part of Am Yisrael. And it's important because this is what Rav Uziel is bringing in his tshuva that I want to show you. And we're going to go back to Rav Uziel, if you don't mind, and let's read his tshuva. Now that we know the Mekorot, it will be easier for us to understand the tshuva, the beautiful tshuva that Rav Uziel wrote. Okay, so the first thing that he's writing, he said that Rav Auerbach is giving his psak that it's allowed for a convert to convert, even if it's because of love, and not just because he wants to be part of Am Yisrael, because it depends on Re'ut Beit Din, meaning if he finds a Beit Din that is willing to convert him, then he's a convert, then we accept his conversion. And he gives a beautiful reasoning, שאם יש כוונה לשום תועלת, יחד עם מחשבה לשם שמיים. And he is bringing this from the Gemara that we just read in Shabbat. בטוח היה הלל דסופו לעשות לשם שמיים. Why did הלל agree to convert this non-Jew who wanted to be Kohen, even though he knew that there's no option for him to be a Kohen? Because Hillel looked at him and he said, right now he wants to convert for the wrong reasons. But I think that at the end, when he'll become a Jew, he will connect to Hashem, and at the end he will be Leshem Shamayim. At the end it will be in order to be part of Am Yisrael, in order to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So right now, even the non-Jew doesn't understand it, but I have some sort of faith in him or trust that at the end, once he will understand Torah, once he will learn Torah, he will relate to it. What's the problem with saying that? The problem with saying that, that we don't really know, meaning it's giving a lot of trust in the future, and we don't know what will happen in the future. Ken, maybe someone at the end will feel related, and then he will feel related to Hashem, and then his conversion will be amazing. But maybe he is converting out of love, and even if he will be a convert and he will join Am Yisrael and he would learn everything that needs to be learned, still he wouldn't feel related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or he wouldn't feel related to Am Yisrael, and then we're trusting someone that not necessarily is worth our trust. And therefore, the criteria of Lefi Re'ut Beit Din is so important, because the Beit Din that the convert is meeting needs to look at that person, according to Rav Uziel, and needs to decide, is there a future here? Maybe, meaning, is there a future that the person that is coming here, even if he doesn't understand it on himself right now, maybe later on in his life, after he learns, maybe he will get there. And the Beit Din have the option to look at that person, to ask him questions, to talk to him, and to try to understand, maybe it's not in the present. Maybe in the present, his motive is not the best motive to convert, but maybe he will grow into it. And that's something that the Beit Din have the ability to assess and to say, even though it's not the best motive right now, it will be, and we have trust in him. And I think this is very beautiful what Rav Uziel is saying here. Let's try to read inside the words of Rav Uziel. Bevadai, he's referring here to the Tosfot in Shabbat. Bevadai shelo kivnu haTosfot lomar desofo laasot leshem shamayim הוא אחרי זמן רב. דאם ידענו שהוא אינו מתגייר לשם שמיים, אין לנו רשאים לבטוח על השערות או מגנות ממה שיהיה לעתיד. The Tosfot are saying, right now is coming with the wrong motive. How can we trust something that will happen in the future? We were just assuming, we're hoping, but it's nothing that we can, it's nothing concrete. It's not that something in the present that we can rely on. So how can you accept him now? Because you believe that in the future that he will do something. It's problematic. אלא הכי כאמרי, דסופו לעשות הגירות לשם שמיים, אף שאתה גיורו הוא לשם דבר אחר. מתוך זה מתבארים שפיר דברי מרן הבית יוסף, במה שכתב, שהכל תלוי לפי ראות בית דין. So how does Rav Uziel solve this problem between the Tosfot that are saying you can't convert him now because you're hopeful for the future. You can't give a psak halacha now because of something that never happened yet. So Rav Uziel is saying, this is why it's so important to go back to the Beit Yosef and to read that the Beit Yosef is saying, לפי ראות בית דין, שאם יראו בית דין, דגר זה יעשה את מעשיו לשם שמיים, אין דוחים אותו. Meaning the Beit Din has the ability to see that he will do his actions for Shem Shamayim in the future. יעשה את מעשיו. Meaning the Beit Din are like prophets. They are able to assess and to look at the ger and to say, maybe right now he's converting out of love, but we have faith in him that once he learns everything, he will do l'shem shamayim. And then we are not postponing him. ולזה מכוונים דברי הגאות מורדכי. And we said that the מורדכי is the one that is saying the end of the scale, saying even if he converted, we're not accepting his conversion. So he's saying here, Rav Uziel, לזה מכוונים דברי המורדכי, שאם יש כוונה לשם תועלת יחד עם כוונה לשם שמיים, מקבלים אותו. Meaning, even the Mordechi will agree that if we have a situation that is complicated, that we have someone that he is saying, I'm in love, and that's why I want to convert. But together with that, I can see myself in the future being part of Am Yisrael. I can see myself relating to Torah. I can see myself being obligated to halacha. Then it's like the combination of these two, of this complicated situation, then you can accept his conversion. והיינו, משום שאנו אומרים שכוונה לשם שמיים היא הגוברת והמכרעת. Meaning the most important thing is that he has kavana, that his attentions are because he wants to be part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the dominant one. This is, so yes, he's also doing it because of love. But we take that aside and we're saying the important thing is that he can also see himself relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. האחרת מתבטלת בפניה. The other reason, the reason of love, of respect, of money, we're going to put that aside. That's less important. ויש לצרף עוד טעם על היתרה. I can't see the words here, סליחה. Here, I'm going to read from the... הנה. ויש לצרף עוד טעם על היתרה. סליחה.
You don't see it on the screen, it's on the screen here.
I have like a toolbar at the top, so I can't read it.
No, okay. Maybe here. Another line. Okay.
I'll do it like that. ויש לצרף, I'm going to bring it back in a second, I'll just read the top line. ויש לצרף עוד טעם על היתרה, בנידון דידן, והוא משום הצלת בת ישראל מאיסור התחתנות לגוי. Meaning, Rav Uziel is saying, it's nice that we're thinking that we're looking at the convert all the time, but we also have to look at it from the other side of the couple. And the other side is that we have a Jewish girl here that wants to marry a non-Jew. And if she will marry a non-Jew, then it's a halachic problem. And we, our aim is to try and to help as much as possible to make sure that people will do less averot, less wrongdoing by halacha as possible. We want to make sure if we can help her to do less averot, then we have the responsibility, the halachic responsibility to help her. So we can't just look at it from the point of view of the convert. We also have to look at it from the point of view of the Jewish girl who wants to marry this non-Jew. So, והרי זה דומה למה שכתב הרמב״ם בדין הנטען על השפחה שיגרשנה מביתו, שישחררנה. Okay, this is the whole thing in the Rambam, that he is talking about what happened when we know of someone who is having relationship with his non-Jewish help, maid. So halachically, they're not allowed to marry. If he releases her, they're not allowed halachically to get married. But on the other hand, the Rambam is saying, but if we know that they are already in relation, then he has to marry her. Then he should marry her. Not has to, but should. So it's like, it seems contradicting, but the Rambam explained that it doesn't contradict because there is like lechatchila and bediavad. Lechatchila, we're saying that you're not allowed to release your maid in order to marry her because we don't want to encourage it. But on the other hand, if it's already happening, we want to try and make sure that you're doing less, as less averot as possible, as less sins as possible. And that's why we will allow it. And the phrase that the Rambam is using, mutav sheyochal rotev velo shuman atzmo. It's a metaphor. And the metaphor is saying it is better that he will eat the sauce and not the meat itself. Meaning if you're having a non-kosher dish, it's better that you'll just have the sauce rather than you'll eat the actual fat or the actual meat itself. Okay, meaning there's a hierarchy. Even if you are doing something that is wrong, you don't say, oh, because I'm doing one thing that is wrong, I'm going to go all the way and nothing matters and I'm going to do everything. Rambam is saying, no, there's a meaning to every little thing. And that's why we're going to try and help you to do as minimum as possible of avera. Ve'en lomar beze haliter ularasha ve'yamut. This is a very beautiful, there's a beautiful sugiya in Baba Kama, if I'm not mistaken, in Baba Kama, that it's talking about a sadeh. If you have a field, let's say you have apple field, and you have people going through your field and eating your apples, mamash gneva. They're stealing, like they're not asking permission, but because they're walking through your field, they're eating your apples. Are you obligated to put a sign on the trees that these are new trees and you're not allowed to eat from them because it's tevel orla, meaning, or are you saying they are thieves anyway? They are stealing from me anyway. They are eating without permission from my field. So what does it matter that they are eating tevel orla, dumai? Kilo, it doesn't matter. So haliteu la rasha ve'yamut is if he's already wicked, so let's give him some more sins to do, and then we don't mind. We don't care because he's already gonna, he's doomed anyway. So the Gemara is saying there in Baba Kama, which is a beautiful sugiya, you are obligated to warn people, even though you know that they are stealing from you and they're coming and taking away without permission. They're taking your crafts, they're taking your apples. Still, you're obligated to put up a sign and say, careful, this is tevel, this is ola. Meaning the fact that you are doing one wrongdoing doesn't mean that you want to do all the wrongdoings that are there, out there. So Rav Uziel is saying here. Okay to walk there or the right? Yeah. So Rav Uziel is saying
okay to walk. It's a little humid. Want to walk?
So Rav Uziel is saying here.
Hold on. Can you mute yourself, please? I don't know why, where the mute button is.
Here, I've muted.
Go on. Yes. Yeah.
So Rav Uziel is saying, the whole way that we should look at it, that we should think about it, is that we have here a couple. And in this couple, we have a non-Jew, but we also have a Jewish girl. And this Jewish girl have decided that she wants to marry this guy, this non-Jew guy. So on the one hand, we want to try and see if his conversion is a good conversion, if we can accept his conversion. But on the other side, we have to look at it from her perspective as well. And we want to try and help her to do as minimum averot as possible. And he's bringing here another sugiya about not doing a lot of averot, but only doing the minimum. וכיוון שאנו אומרים לו, אי אתה יודע, והוא אמר יודע אני, meaning we're telling this convert, this guy who wants to convert, do you know how hard it is? Do you know what it means to be a Jewish person? Do you know halacha? Do you understand the Jewish law? And he knows, I know. And we're telling him miktzat mitzvot, which I love it. You're not sitting there and telling him all the mitzvot, teaching him all the halacha, telling him to go and read all the Shulchan Aruch. No, you're telling him miktzat mitzvot, just a little bit. You know, there's Shabbat, there's Kashrut, you know, overall feeling. והוא אומר, הרני מקבל, and then the convert is saying, I accept it, מקבלים אותו מיד. So for all of these reasoning, הנני מצטרף להתיר קבלת גר זה. אחרי, I'm joining Rav Auerbach to accept and to receive this convert, אחרי הודעת כל דברי הגרות המובעים בשולחן ארוך. And here we have the שולחן ארוך. At the end. הנה, this is the שולחן ארוך. כשבא להתגייר, אומרים לו, סליחה, I can't see it. כשבא להתגייר, אומרים לו, מה ראית שבאת להתגייר? What have you seen that you want to convert? Meaning, what is your motivation? Why do you want to convert? אי אתה יודע שבזמן הזה ישראל דחופים וסחופים, don't you know? That being Jewish means being persecuted, means being a minority, means it's not so happy and shiny and unicorns. It's hard. It's not an easy thing. ויסורים באים עליהם, meaning it's ממש, it's not easy to be Jewish. אם אמר יודע אני, I know that it's hard. I know that it's hard to be a minority. ואיני כדאי להתחבר עמהם. I know that it's hard and I know that it's not rational, it's not good for me to connect with them, and still I want to. מקבלים אותו מיד ומודיעים אותו עיקרי הדת, then you accept him right away. But what happens if he's not saying that that's why he wants to marry? But then at the end, Shulchan Aruch is writing, כיוון שטבל, הרי הוא ישראל, meaning if he's going to the Beit Din, and he's doing everything, that mila, brit mila, and mikve, and then הרי הוא כישראל, שאם חזר לסורו, הרי הוא כישראל, meaning after he converted, and he's still not doing all the Jewish laws, and he's not keeping halakha, he is just like a Jewish person who is not religious. הרי הוא כישראל מומר, שאם קדשו קדושיו קדושים, meaning we need to treat him as a Jewish person who's not keeping halakha, who's not doing everything the way that he should be doing, but he is Jewish for everything. So also the Shulchan Aruch have some sort of lechatchila v'bedi'avad. What I have here is Rav Melamed. I don't know if you've heard of Rav Melamed. I'm sure you've heard of Rav Melamed, nachon? He is, I would say, the main rabbi ruling in our generation today in Eretz Yisrael. His books, he's got a series of books called Pnine Halacha. You can also get in on an app. I have an app on my phone of Pnine Halacha, which is very convenient. And his idea is to write halacha, which is very simple. That if you have a question, you open and you look it up, and it's very straightforward writing and obvious. And this is what he wrote about conversion. And I brought it to you because I wanted you to see the difference between Rav Uziel writing and Rav Eliezer Melamed writing. Amru Chachamim, our sage, are saying, Im hanochri ba litgayer kedei leinaseh leyehudiya, if the non-Jew is coming to convert in order to marry a Jewish girl, o kedei lizkot bekavod, or because he wants to win respect, o mamon, or because of money, en mekablim oto. Meaning you're not allowed to convert him. I thought it was very interesting. And he is saying, מפני שאף אם הוא מצהיר על רצונו לקיים מצוות, even if he is standing in front of the Beit Din, and he is telling them, I want to keep the mitzvot, I'm going to keep the Jewish law, מסתבר שאין כוונתו טהורה. Meaning his motives are not 100% pure, therefore, יש לחשוש שכאשר יתקל בקשיים, we have to fear, we have to look up and to be scared that if חס וחלילה, there's going to be struggle on the way, יזנח את התורה ומצוותיה. He's going to abandon Torah, he's going to abandon the Jewish law, and he's going to abandon the mitzvot. And that's why אין מקבלים גרים לימות המשיח, and this is, he's going around. What I found so interesting in Rav Melamed ruling, that he doesn't bring the machloket, that he writes very straightforward, and he doesn't even bring Rav Uziel or Rav Oerbach or any other rabbis that are saying that there is a place to look it up, there is a place to accept it, there is a place to be hopeful for the future, that even if his motivation is not 100% pure, Be'ezrat Hashem, one day he'll get into it, just like Hillel HaZaken in the Gemara. And Rav Melamed is writing very straightforward, En mekablim oto. At the end, he is saying, Beit Din shelo nahag kefi horat chachamim, because Rav Melamed knows the reality, and he knows that they are batei din that will accept his conversion out of love. So if we have a Beit Din that doesn't listen to Chachamim, doesn't listen to our sage, and still accept his conversion, ve'eskim ladun b'inyano v'legayro, so if this convert finds a Beit Din that is willing to convert him because he wants to marry a Jewish girl, giyuro takef v'dino k'yehudi. Meaning Rav Melamed doesn't bring the machloket, but at the end, he is saying, so if this convert finds a Beit Din that is willing to convert him, then he is considered Jewish, meaning, and he's bringing Gemara in Yevamot, the same Gemara that we have seen at the beginning. I think that it's very interesting. I think that Rav Uziel already in, I'm going back to Rav Uziel. I think that Rav Uziel Mamash in the early days of, he wrote it in 1939. Already in 1939, saw the reality. And I think this is the first thing, the first thing that I'm able to say about a Sephardi ruling, and it's very objective. It's not because I'm Sephardi. No, but the thing that I want to say about Sephardi ruling is that it is very important for Sephardi rabbis to look at the reality and not just to look at the books. Meaning, we're going to see it even more so in Rav Mashash, but that's a different shiur. But I think that what was important to for Rav Uziel to see here is not only to look at it from the point of view of 100% motivation to keep Jewish law, to be part of the Jewish nation, but to understand that some situations are much more complicated, and maybe he can see himself as part of the Jewish nation, but right now he wants to convert because he wants to marry someone, because I don't know what, meaning most likely in life, situations won't be 100% here or there. Most likely, it will be complicated. It will be a lot of motivations together or a lot of reasoning together for each decision that we take in life. So I think that's one thing that Rav Uziel is taking into consideration. And the second thing that Rav Uziel is taking into consideration is the Jewish girl in the picture, meaning this couple have already decided that they are going to get married. So we can't just look at it as a halachic question from the point of view of the convert. We also have to take into consideration the woman in the picture or the other side, the other half of the couple, and to try and to help her to do as minimum, as less averot as possible, because she is Jewish and we care about her and we want to try and help her as much as we can to be part of the Jewish nation and to do as less averot as possible. So I think this complicated way of looking at reality helps Rav Uziel to look at halacha in different eyes or in more complex complex way, and to take into consideration into his ruling not just the Gemarot, the Tosfot, the Bet Yosef, which are very important, but also to take into consideration and to look for the sources that will look at the dilemma from different eyes, or will take into consideration the murkavut, the complexity of the situation here. I see that we have some questions on the chat. I'm going to open the chat to see what are the questions. Or do you want to open your microphones and just ask? How do you want to do it?
Do you want me to ask you the questions, you know, quickly? Would that
please,
be for you?
Please, okay. Help me out, Ken.
Okay, so just the beginning. Okay. Do you know if this Rav Orbach is related to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach?
That's a very good question. I was trying to look for it. I don't have a definite answer, but I'll. It's in research right now. So when I'll have an answer, I'll update you.
Okay, thank you. Okay,
thank you.
Somebody pointing, thank Joe you. Pointing out that the prostitute may have, she was impressed by the fact that, you know, has motivated the Jewish case. So it wasn't totally Shelo L'shem Shemayim.
Nachon.
But
the Mefarshim are saying that. And not only that, they're also, the Mefarshim there are also saying it wasn't a wimp. Like, it wasn't something impulsive. She divided her money. She gave away all of her money. She was willing to go on a journey to look for him. She did something very active. It wasn't out of just, you know, something impulsive. I've seen him. He was cute. I want to marry him. She was willing to give her money to go out on a journey to look for him. So obviously, I think the Gemara here is giving us a situation that is complicated. And I think that's why Rav Chiya was willing to convert her. And I think that's why Rav Uziel is also relating to that Gemara, because Rav Uziel is saying Rav Chiya converted her because he saw that the situation was complicated. And he saw that even though she wanted to convert because she liked the student, but she was also willing to go so far and to do so much in order to marry that student.
I would just add, perhaps, you know, thinking about this, and things today are not like this. Rav Uziel is not widely accepted, as we all know. That today, since anybody has the option to get married without converting, what's the big deal? Just go get married. The fact that somebody wants to convert by itself is a statement that they want a connection to Yiddishkeit. Now, they may not have any connection to being fully observant, but that's what they're looking at the Mikhovel. Because if they don't care about Judaism, who wants to go to Beit Din? Who needs the hassle? Just marry each other. So I think almost by definition, Rav Uziel was probably saying that any couple who comes to convert means they clearly have at least partial motivation to be Jewish. Otherwise, just go get married.
That's very interesting what you're saying, because from what I know here in Israel, people would want to. If they're getting married, that's very interesting that you're saying that they wouldn't mind and they'll just go convert.
Maybe because I live outside of Israel.
Maybe because in Israel, in order to marry by Rabbanut or by the state, you have to be Jewish. Meaning in Israel, it's together.
So in Israel, it's harder. We have to be stricter in a sense. Here, the fact that somebody goes to a rabbi to convert, just do like most people here who want to marry don't convert. They have no interest in converting. The fact they convert, and of course, they have an option to convert with the reform rabbi and whatever. There's a lot to discuss here, and it's late, and Alex Israel is starting in 14 minutes. But just let's continue. A couple of questions. Okay, I don't think we have time for asking to discuss the role of Kabbalah at all mitzvot in conversion. I think we're just going to leave. That's a very broad issue, and I'll just say that. And I think she put it in Hebrew, if I understand the question correctly, when the Mordechai, it's interesting, you pronounce his name the Mordechai. I always in yeshiva, but what do I know? I went to, you know, we weren't makbid on this.
I
said the Mordechai, one of the balei atosva, but it's interesting to go to the Mordechai. Okay, but say there. Are you for sure saying that he's saying b'dieved the conversion is no good? Maybe when he says ein mekabelin to means you shouldn't convert him, but if you do, the conversion is no good. You imply even after the fact, the conversion is no good.
So I think there's a machloket of how to understand the Mordechai. Some will say the Mordechai is saying his giyur won't be accepted, and some will read the same line in the Mordechai and will say, you see, the Mordechai is saying that his conversion is good. So there is also like you take the Mordechai and it depends where you take it. And each rabbi, I think, will mefaresh it differently.
Okay, very quickly, do you think the psak, I'll let you out. Do you think the psak would have been any different if the girl was non-Jewish? If the girl was Jewish and the man non-Jewish.
That's the situation.
I'm sorry, right.
The other way around?
Right, the other way around. The woman was non-Jewish. Where there it's, obviously different a little bit.
According to what Rav Uziel is writing, I think it's going to be the same, because he keeps on bringing the sources that are saying, Benimu'ish, Benimu'isha, Benimu'ish, Benimu'isha. So from my understanding, I think that can.
Okay,
he's gonna do it the same.
Somebody would like to know how to get the app for Rav Melamed. By the way, he's not so well known in Chutz Lartz, I don't think. But from what I understand, his books have sold close to 1 million copies. In the modern Orthodox world, the Tzionit, the deep world, he is the posek of the community. It's like here it's a little bit, because he writes tremendous clarity and 100%. But if you want to put the app in, okay.
I highly recommend.
Yeah, we also don't have time to discuss the fact that the Syrian community doesn't accept converts. That is true, but we'll have to leave that for another time. And
but they don't accept, I think they don't accept converts sociologically, but their conversion stands. Meaning it's not that they're saying halachically you can't convert. Right. They're saying we don't want it, we don't encourage it, we don't accept it as a community, but we understand that there is a halachic way to convert.
Yes. And the Rabbi Harvin pointing out that Rabbi Mark Angel loves Rabbi Uziel. He also is from Sephardic, and I think he's written a whole book on Rabbi Uziel's.
I would love to read.
Mark Angel, it's in English. Okay, we'll have to get you the book. Okay, I think I have it here. In a minute, he also wrote on Rab David Halevi.
He introduced me to his great poskim.
Right.
He's a great person. I thank him much. He's been
okay. Okay, so I think that's pretty much it. The sources that we have are on the website, although Shira, I believe you only sent us the actual source. You didn't send us your PowerPoint presentation. That's up to you if you're comfortable. So send it to us.
Not a problem.
Okay, so we'll post that on the website too soon. Okay, it's 12:05. That means we have a 10-minute break. And in 10 minutes, please God, Rabbi Alex Israel will continue a series on Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, going through every week book by book. So everybody's welcome to stay online. You don't have to go anywhere. That'll be in 10 minutes. And tomorrow, Rachel Sharansky Danziger continues her series on storytelling and kings. And Marty Lection is back at 11 a.m. this week. He took a 1-month hiatus, although he's only back for a couple weeks. And continuing Sefer Yirmiyahu and Haftorahs of the Week by Moshe Sokolov at 8 p.m. Thursday. Another triple header, Shuli Mishkin, followed by Jonathan Ziering on Shemitah, followed by the Parsha Shiur in the evening, 8:30, Rachel Slutsky, my Shiur Perkei Avot. And next Sunday, of course, Tisha B'Av, we have a program, 11 a.m. to 7:15 p.m. So 8 speakers. The last is on films of the Holocaust, but sort of an all-day program beginning 11 a.m. Eastern. That's on Tisha B'Av, and we should have simchas. What can I say? Tisha B'Av should one day be a holiday, and we're partway there. I imagine, I don't know if you say all of Nachem, you know, Shira, have you changed the Nusach of Nachem, or you say the old traditional Nusach?
It's a good question. No, we're saying the old Nusach, but yes, it's a question. How can you sit in Yerushalayim and cry about Yerushalayim being destroyed when you're saying Lishmoa Yeladim veYeladot berchovot Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim is filled with kids and with laughter?
Right. How can you say Ir HaBizuya HaChareva Shomima VeLivaneha? So I can't say it. I follow like Rav Lichtenstein. Rav Lichtenstein, yes, who was a very small C conservative, like his father-in-law, the Rav, didn't change anything. But even here, I believe Rav Lichtenstein said you cannot say nothing. Just like the Anshik is, how can you say it? It's Baruch Hashem. It's not Ere B'Zir. So the Beishik had a whole real other explanation. But anyways, okay, I'll stop talking. We'll see you all, please, in 8 minutes for Rabbi Alex Israel and Shira. Thank you very much. We'll please
go back
next week. Okay. Toda Rabbah. Erev Tov.